Today is the appearance day of Lord Varaha, Krishna's form as a boar. So the class will be on that subject matter. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the verse that should be on the screen is from the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the chapter, The Prayers Offered to the Lord by the Residents of Jambudweep, and the verse is number 35. Since it is a prose verse, I will chant the mantra, and then we will repeat the synonyms. Om Namo Bhagavate Mantra Tattvalingaya Yajna Pratave Mahadvavarvayavaya Mahapurushaya Namakarma Shuklaya Triyugaya Namaste. O Lord, Nama, respectful obeisances, Bhagavate, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mantra Tattva Lingaya, who is understood in truth by different mantras, Yajna, in the form of animal sacrifices, Kratave, and animal sacrifice, Mahadvara, great sacrifices, of Yavaya, whose limbs and bodily parts, Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Person, Nama, respectful obeisances, Karma Shuklaya, who purifies the fruitive activities of the living entities. Tri Yugaya, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full with six opulences, and who appears in three yugas, remaining concealed in the fourth yuga. Nama, my respectful obeisances, Te, unto you. O Lord, we offer our respectful obeisance unto you as the gigantic person. Simply by chanting mantras, we shall be able to understand you fully. You are yajna, sacrifice, and you are the kratu, ritual. Therefore, all the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifice are part of your transcendental body, and you are the only enjoyer of all sacrifices. Your form is composed of transcendental goodness. You are known as Triyuga because in Kali Yuga you appeared as a concealed incarnation, and because you always fully possess the three pairs of opulences. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation for this age of Kali, as confirmed in many places throughout the Puranas, Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Upanishads. The summary of his appearance is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita as follows. Kali Yuga Lila Avatar Na Kare Bhagavan Ata Eva Tri Yuga Kari Kahi Tar Nam. In this age of Kali, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, does not appear as a lila avatar, an incarnation, to display pastimes. Therefore, he is known as Triyuga. Unlike other incarnations, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in this age of Kali as a devotee of the Lord. Therefore, he is called a concealed incarnation, Chana Avatar. Trinadapi Sunichena Turadeva Sahishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Harinama 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 Vikivalam Klo Nastyeva 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 Gatiranyata. So, in the Das Avatar Stotram, there is the third prayer which glorifies Lord Varaha. Vasati dashana shikare dharani tavalagna shashani kalanga kalivani magna keshavadrita shukara rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Supreme Lord, who have assumed the form of a boar, O Lord, the planet Earth rested on your tusks, and it appeared like the moon engraved with spots. The appearance of Lord Varaha is mentioned in the first, second, third, and fifth cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the first canto, Suta Goswami says, "The supreme enjoyer of all sacrifices accepted the incarnation of a boar, the second incarnation, and for the welfare of the earth, he lifted the earth from the nether regions of the universe." Prabhupada comments, "The incarnation of the boar was to take the earth out of Pluto's region of filthy matter. Picking up something from a filthy place is done by a boar, and the all-powerful personality of Godhead displayed this wonder to the asuras who had hidden the earth in such a filthy place. There is nothing impossible for the personality of Godhead, and although he played the part of a boar, by the devotees he is worshipped, staying always in transcendence." In the second canto, Lord Brahma tells his son Narada, "When the unlimitedly powerful Lord assumed the form of a boar as a pastime, just to lift the planet Earth, which was drowned in the great ocean of the universe called the Garbhodaka, the first demon, Hiranyaksha, appeared, and the Lord pierced him with his tusk." Srila Prabhupada in that verse comments as follows, "Since the beginning of creation, the demons and the demigods, or Vaishnavas, are always the two classes of living beings to dominate the planets of the universe. Lord Brahma is the first demigod, and Hiranyaksha is the first demon in this universe. Only under certain conditions do the planets float as weightless balls in the air. And as soon as these conditions are disturbed, the planets may fall down in the Garbhodaka ocean, which covers half the universe. The other half is the spherical dome within which the innumerable planetary systems exist. The floating of the planets in the weightless air is due to the inner constitution of the globes and the modernized drilling of the earth to exploit oil from within is a sort of disturbance by the modern demons and can result in a greatly harmful reaction to the floating condition of the earth. A similar disturbance was created formerly by the demons, headed by Hiranyaksha, the great exploiter of the gold rush. And the earth was detached from its weightless condition and fell down into the Garbhodaka ocean. The Lord, as maintainer of the whole creation of the material world, therefore assumed the gigantic form of a boar with a proportionate snout and picked up the earth from within the water of Garbhodaka. Prabhupada continues, and when the Lord appeared to pick up the earth, the demon of the name Hiranyaksha tried to create a disturbance in the methodical functions of the Lord, and therefore he was killed by being pierced by the Lord's tusk. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, the demon Hiranyaksha was killed by the hand of the Lord. Therefore, his version is that after being killed by the hand of the Lord, the demon was pierced by the tusk. In the third canto, Vidura inquires from Maitreya about what Swayambhuva Manu did after obtaining his wife, Shatarupa. Sage Maitreya responded by informing Vidura that Manu addressed Lord Brahma about what service he could render so that he could follow it for fame in this life and progress in the next. Lord Brahma then asked Manu to beget children qualified like Manu himself in the womb of his wife. Manu should rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then worship the Lord by performances of yajna or sacrifice. In this context, Lord Brahma used two names of God. Everybody say, Rishikesha. Everybody say, Janardana. After this, Swayambhuva Manu requested Lord Brahma to attempt to lift the earthly planet because she had fallen to the bottom of the Garbhodakasha ocean. Brahma then gave his attention for a long time as to how the earth could be lifted. He concluded that it would be best to let the Almighty Lord direct him. All of a sudden, while Brahma was engaged in thinking, a small form of a boar came out of his nostril. The measurement of the creature was not more than the upper portion of a thumb. And while Brahma was observing him, that boar became situated in the sky in a wonderful manifestation as gigantic as a great elephant. Struck with wonder at observing the wonderful boar-like form in the sky, Lord Brahma, with great brahmanas like Marichi, as well as Dukumaras and Manu, began to argue in various ways. While Lord Brahma was deliberating with his sons, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu roared tumultuously like a great mountain. The omnipotent Supreme Personality of Godhead thus enlivened Lord Brahma and the other highly elevated Brahmins by again roaring with his uncommon voice, which echoed in all directions. When the great sages and thinkers, who are residents of Janaloka, Tapoloka, and Satyaloka, heard the tumultuous voice of Lord Boar, which was the all-auspicious sound of the all-merciful Lord, they chanted auspicious chants from the three Vedas. Playing like an elephant, Lord Boar entered into the water after roaring again in reply to the Vedic prayers by the great devotees. The Lord is the object of the Vedic prayers, and thus he understood that the devotees' prayers were meant for him. Before entering the water to rescue the earth, Lord Boar flew in the sky, slashing his tail, his hard hairs quivering. His very glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds in the sky with his hoofs and his glittering white tusks. He was personally the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and was therefore transcendental. And yet, because he had the body of a hog, he searched after the earth by smell. His tusks were fearful, and he glanced over the devotee brahmanas engaged in offering prayers. Thus he entered the water. Diving into the water like a giant mountain, Lord Boar divided the middle of the ocean, and two high waves appeared as the arms of the ocean, which cried loudly as if praying to the Lord. O Lord of all sacrifices, please do not cut me in two. Kindly give me protection. Lord Boar penetrated the water with his hooves, which were like sharp arrows, and found the limits of the ocean, although it was unlimited. He saw the earth, the resting place for all living beings, lying as it was in the beginning of creation, and he personally lifted it. Lord Boar very easily took the earth on his tusks and got it out of the water. Thus he appeared very splendid. Then, with his anger glowing like the Sudarshana wheel, Lord Varaha immediately killed the demon, although Hiranyaksha tried to fight with the Lord. Thereupon, Lord Boar killed the demon within the water, just as a lion kills an elephant. The cheeks and tongue of the Lord became smeared with the blood of the demon, just as an elephant becomes reddish from digging in the purple earth. Then the Lord, playing like an elephant, suspended the earth on the edge of his curved white tusks. He assumed a bluish complexion like that of a tamal tree. And thus the sages, headed by Lord Brahma, could understand him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and offered respectful obeisances and prayers unto the Lord. The sage Maitreya then informed Vidura, "The Lord, being thus worshipped by all the great sages and transcendentalists, touched the earth with his hoofs and placed it on the water. In this manner, the personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the maintainer of all living entities, raised the earth from within the water, and having placed it afloat on the water, he then returned to his own abode." So here is the payoff, listening to this. This is your payback. This is according to Maitreya. If one hears and describes in a devotional attitude this auspicious narration of Lord Boar, which is worthy of description, the Lord, who is within the heart of everyone, is very pleased. Nothing remains unachieved when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is pleased with someone. By transcendental achievement, one understands everything else to be insignificant. One who engages in transcendental loving service is elevated to the highest perfectional stage by the Lord Himself, who is seated in everyone's heart. Who, other than one who is not a human being, can exist in this world and not be interested in the ultimate goal of life? Who can refuse the nectar of narrations about the personality of Godhead's activities, which by itself can deliver one from all material pangs? Vasati dashana shikare dharani kavalagna shashani kalanka kalevani magna keshavadrita braha rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare keshavadrita shukara rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadish jaya jagadish jaya jagadisha hare. So going back to the verse from the fifth canto, there are some nice words here. So the one phrase, mantra tantva lingaya, who is understood in truth by different mantras. So this is our basic preaching ideology or theology. We are known as the Hare Krishna movement. Prabhupada gave in his Back to Godhead magazine. It says right there, the magazine of the Hare Krishna movement. So we should always remember that this is our movement. This movement that we belong to is meant to propagate the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it is our philosophy, as given to us by Lord Chaitanya, that simply by chanting the holy name of God, everything will be revealed. No other external process is required. If you want to understand God, if you want to see God, if you want to return to God, join His company, then Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Iva Kivalam, Klo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyata. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way in this age of Kali. Simply chant the holy name of God. And Lord Chaitanya teaches us, Kirtaniya Sada, always, always, always be chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Atak Shri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. Sevan muke hi jivadao swayam eva sparatyada. Here is a verse from the Upanishads which corroborates this concept that with our blunt, materialistic, contaminated senses, it is impossible to see or realize or understand God. No, not with these blunt, material senses. The senses have to become purified, transcendentalized, spiritualized. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya's first instruction, Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleanse the mirror of the heart, cleanse the dirt from the mind. So this verse, Atakshi Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayam Indriyai. When we talk about God, our understanding of God is the most comprehensive understanding of God that you can find in any theology. No one compares to the completeness of our theology of God. Our understanding of God is that He is absolute. His name, His sound, His person are the same. There is no duality. So when we say this name, Krishna, Krishna is actually dancing on the tongue. So it says, Namadi, beginning with the name. So then Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, characteristics, qualities, paraphernalia, they're all absolute, all transcendental. But realization begins with realization of the name, Namadi. So we stress in our movement, Lord Chaitanya stresses, Srila Prabhupada stresses, and those who are faithful followers also stress. It's the holy name, the holy name, the holy name. The senses will have to become purified. And then in the second half of the shloka, Sevan Mukehi Jivadao. The purificatory process begins with the tongue. And that is why, besides chanting, another very important item is what we allow the tongue to taste. The two functions of the tongue. The tongue wants to wag, wants to vibrate. Everybody wants to talk. Otherwise, why is the cell phone business a $1 billion industry? People want to talk all day long. So, that talking or vibrating has to be in relation to Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, characteristics, entourage. That is the proper use of the tongue. We are studying the second canto, so we will come, when we come to the third chapter, I believe, the unchaste tongue. Yes, the unchaste tongue does not talk about Krishna, but talks about other subjects. And then the other part of the tongue's proclivities is to taste. The tongue wants to taste varieties. There's not one kind of food. There are varieties of tastes. Sweet, sour, salty, pungent. So many different permutations and combinations just to satisfy the taste buds. So the tasting proclivity has to be in relation with Krishna. Therefore we eat Krishna prasad, food that is offered to Krishna. And it is Lord Chaitanya's principle that prasadam should be sumptuous prasadam, and everyone should take, what do we say every day, to our full satisfaction. If we do not satisfy the tongue with prasadam, then we will seek out the taste in other things. And by that tasting other things, we will go to hell. We will enter a spiral process, chasing after different tastes. So we satisfy the taste by eating that which is offered to Krishna. And then we eat the remnants called prasad. Simply by the tongue, God can be realized. Simply, you chant and you eat Krishna prasad. Other words in this verse, Mahapurushaya, unto the Supreme Person. Purusha, person, male. But here we have Mahapurusha, the greatest. In the Bhagavad Gita, a different word is used, but it means the same thing. Purushottama, Purusha Uttama, the topmost person, the transcendental person, the best person, Uttama. That person who is beyond the darkness of this material world, who is transcendental, who is the best. Another name, Rishabha. We will hear about Lord Rishabhadev in fifth canto. Rishabha means the best. That is God. So we worship the Supreme Person. We are part and parcel of the Supreme Person. We are always in the subordinate position. Even after liberation, still, fundamentally, we will remain in the subordinate position. And that will be to our greatest happiness. Why we are frustrated in this material world is because we're trying to be something that we're not. That is the basic flaw of trying to enjoy in this material world. We're attempting to do something that is impossible because we are not the enjoyer. We are the servant. But this idea of servant is very detestable to the conditioned soul because the conditioned soul has come here in order to imitate the enjoyer. That's why we're here, trying to imitate, want to feel what it's like to be the Supreme Person. So Krishna has created a playpen. He has created an illusory world where everyone is an illusion thinking, I am great, I am this, I am that. But then death comes and we realize, no, I'm not. I'm not who I thought I was. So when we come to Krishna consciousness, we understand, I am not the Supreme Person. I am simply the insignificant servant of the Lord. As Lord Chaitanya prays in his Shikshastakam prayers, Ayi nanda tunuja kinkaram, kinkaram, I'm your servant. Ayi nanda tunuja kinkaram, patitang, but I have fallen. Patitang mang vishame, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of material existence. I have fallen. I'm your eternal servant, but somehow or other I have given up that conception, wanting to be the enjoyer. Ayinanda tunajikinkurang patitang mang vishame bhavam budau kripaya tavapada pankaja. But my Lord, out of your causeless mercy, kripaya, you kindly pick me up and situate me. Now listen to the language Lord Chaitanya uses. Kripaya tavapada pankaja stitaduli sadrishang. This last line makes it very clear how we should think of ourselves. I am simply kinkara, servant, patitang, I have fallen. But my Lord, I am praying to you, please pick me up and place me as one of the insignificant atoms at your lotus feet. Insignificant. Nobody in the material world wants to be told, you are insignificant. No, everybody in the material world wants to think, I'm special. Everyone, man, woman, right? Valentine's Day is coming. They'll get a card. Oh, you're so special. You're so wonderful. No, you're not. That is an illusion. It's Maya. It's an illusion. No. Lord Chaitanya is making it very clear. At least he wants that conception. Lord Chaitanya says, no. Kindly consider me an insignificant atom at your lotus feet. This is Krishna consciousness. This is coming out of illusion, the reality. What is the truth? Krishna consciousness is all about the truth. not about fake news. No. What we study here in this Bhagavatam is absolute truth. It's true, past, present, future. It'll always be true. You will owe it. I will always be the insignificant servant of God. It's not going to change. Even I'm in the spiritual world, I'm still going to be the insignificant servant of God. But that's okay. Because Lord Chaitanya is teaching, that is where your real happiness, your real pleasure will be found. When you consider yourself as such. Then, Tri Yugaya. We are quickly coming upon the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tomorrow, we will celebrate the appearance of Lord Nityananda, Lord Balaram himself, Krishna's first expansion, Krishna's elder brother. That seems contradictory, but that's okay. But Lord Balaram appeared as Lord Nityananda, Nitya Ananda, eternal pleasure. Lord Nityananda has that conception that I am simply the eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya. And that gives him great ecstasy. When he meditates and thinks of himself as the eternal servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experiences the greatest bliss, Nityananda, Nitya, eternal bliss. Bliss is different from happiness. Happiness has a beginning, middle, and end. But Ananda is different. Ever-increasing happiness. Ever-increasing. It does not wane. It is the waxing moon of auspiciousness. So Lord Nityananda embodies that. So, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, but he's not Krishna coming as God. He's coming as servant of God. That is why it is said here in Channa Avatar, hidden, disguised, concealed. This concept of Channa Avatar is also expressed by Prahlad Maharaj when he's glorifying Lord Nrisimhadev in the 7th canto. He also will refer to the Lord that, my Lord, you appear, but sometimes you appear as a hidden or concealed incarnation. Gupta. Channa Avatar, the disguised. He's God, but he has disguised that position of God and taken the position of servant of God. And if you read nicely, the 6th chapter of the Adi Lila, the glories of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya points out that this understanding of I am the eternal servant of God is actually a higher ecstasy than being God. And that's why God, Krishna, wants to take this position of eternal servant of Krishna, because there is more ecstasy in that. We learn in the Adi Lila, chapter 4, that Krishna looks at Radharani and sees. Krishna thinks, I am the reservoir of all pleasure. But how is it that Srimati Radharani enjoys more than me? Krishna cannot understand. In order for him to understand how Radharani seemingly is enjoying more than him, he has to take her position. Therefore, we have the understanding of Gauranga, Gaurasundara, God, Krishna, taking the position of his topmost servitor, Srimati Radharani. And in this way, he can understand what it is to experience the highest ecstasy. So the Lord, because he does not appear in this Kali Yuga, as it was mentioned, as a Leela avatar, then he takes this hidden position as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Anybody want to chime in? Bhrigupati, I thought you had a question. What's that? Not on topic, okay. Yes, Prabhu?
Thank you very much for the wonderful class, Prabhu. So sometimes we can see the meteors at
the
night. The meteors. Meteors at night. So, meteors, yeah, at night.
Meteors.
Meteors at night.
Okay.
So I'm just wondering, when the earthly planet was fallen to the Garbhodaksha Ocean, was it also like the meteor or not?
Well, unless I read it directly, I was trained many, many years ago. I was chastised by my sannyasi who I was living under. Do not speculate. And that was later confirmed when I was working here in Westwood as a bookkeeper. And my boss chastised me. He said, in accounting, you do not assume anything. You work with what you have. And then he made a little diagram. When you assume, you make an ass out of me. So we do not assume, we do not speculate. So I don't recall reading that. I'm not Sarvagya, I don't know anything. But unless I have read something like that, I shall not comment.
Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Yes.
So, in a spiritual world, we have a relationship with Krishna and we feel a highest ecstasy of being servants of Krishna in spiritual world, and we fall down. So they are saying then because of free will, we choose to not be with Krishna. But my question is, how is possible...
Can I finish?
We already feel a highest ecstasy. So how is possible, despite free will, then these kind of thoughts, then something else, then this higher ecstasy already we feel with Krishna, then something else is highest than that, but we already have it.
So, we have free will, always. So Prabhupada explains this. Sometimes we want to imitate. We want to know what it's like to be Krishna. Just as Krishna wants to understand what is Radharani, we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have all the propensities of Krishna to a very minute degree. So sometimes the living entity wants to experience what would it be like to be Krishna. And that's when we begin. Now, how that can be, that's inconceivable. You're never going to understand why. It's impossible. How could that pass? And because of that, that's why there are many devotees who do not accept this concept that Prabhupada preaches repeatedly on this very point. Because they're trying to understand it. But no, you can't. You have free will. And all of us, somehow or other, the thought came. It did not happen from external cause. So there's no Maya involved. It has to do with me. I did this. I'm responsible. I'm not going to blame anybody or anything. No. It came from me. I wanted to feel what it's like to be Krishna. And Krishna says, okay, this is explained. We're going to study this in the second canto, chapter 9, the first verse. The first verse of chapter 9, canto 2, the same concept is there explained by Prabhupada. The first sinful act of the living entity is to want to imitate God. And then subsequently, Krishna's move is, oh, you want to be like me? That's not possible here. I have to create Los Angeles. Go and good luck trying to be me. You're never going to figure it out. You have a question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So I was wondering, like, there are different forms Lord takes. Different forms Lord incarnates in. So this form seems like very unusual, like the boar form. I was wondering if you could tell a little bit more.
We also know that he appears in every species. You will find some statements. He appears in every species. Now, I'm pretty sure it was mentioned. If not, I should have mentioned that the Lord, the business was to rescue the earth. So he took up that form of the boar with the tusks in order to scoop the earth from the bottom of the Garbhoduck ocean. So regardless of the form, it is still all attractive, all beautiful. We should never think that the form of Varaha is like some ordinary. No. It is otherwise, why the residents of that Uttarakhanda of Varsha are worshipping that form? They're worshipping the form of Lord Bor. So we have to get out of that material conception. No, that form was beautiful and he was glowing and it was amazing, right? He started off the upper portion of a thumb and then grew to gigantic. And even one of the prayers, one of the prayers in that fifth canto, we worship you as the gigantic person. So it's amazing. It's fantastic. Okay? Like that. Anything else? Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Nirantara Prabhu ki cha.
Captured the 16,000. Yes. He's also called Naraka Asura.